If you would join me in prayer and we'll jump right into it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, thank you very much that you, during this pandemic, Lord, you allowed us to still bring forth your word. What a gracious and compassionate God you are. Lord, I'm always humbled by the opportunity, Lord, to share your word with your people. Lord, I know, Lord, that it's not by power. I know, Lord, that it's not by might, but it's by your spirit. And so, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, be pleasing to you. We're going to look at Peter. And so if you have your Bibles, maybe it's your phone, whatever you need, pull it out and let's look at Acts 10. We're going to look at Acts chapter 10, verses 23 to 35. You just read along with me. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for you, when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you seek for me?" And Cornelius answered, "3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, and at 3 p.m. suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." And Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." So today the message is really simple, and I'll be out of your way. It's very simple. The first thing that you need to do in order to become a greater athlete, in order for you to improve and check out these blind spots in your life, is to first run. To run. You're in the race. Pastor told you already, you're in the race. So as a believer, we still run. But here's the thing. We have to run in the right direction. That's point number two. Run in the right direction. Because if you're running in a direction that God has not called you to, then you're running in the wrong direction. And when God taps you on your shoulder and said, "Hey, brother, hey, sister, you're running in the wrong direction. I need you to run this way. And I need you to run that way." And when God is dealing with other believers and God has a plan for them in terms of how he wants them to run, stay out of God's way. Stay out of God's way. And we'll see that in the life of Peter. Now, right before Christ departed, Christ told Peter and the other disciples that he had a race for them to run. He said, "Peter, John, and the other disciples, got a race for you. And what I want you to do is I want you to advance my kingdom." But Christ had to remind them in Acts 1:4. He said, "Look, what I want you to do is instead of just running, I need you to wait. I need you to wait." In Acts 1:4, it says, "On one occasion while he was eating with them," referring to Christ, "he gave them this command. He said, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me ask about.'" And then later on in Acts 1:8, we're familiar with this. He says, "But you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." And I can picture Peter now being in the race. You're picturing a relay race. And Peter's sitting there with the rest of the disciples. He's ready to run, ready to run, ready to move forward. And he's ready for the baton to be handed to him. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, where's the baton coming from? Well, it's coming from the Spirit of God first. When I first started this message, I thought Peter and the disciples were the first to run in this mission. But then I realized that God had been doing some work. And so it was the Spirit of God that started the work. And he had been doing work in the world. And now he said, Peter and the rest of the disciples, I got a job for you. I got a race for you to run, but I need you to sit still because you need power. And wait for the Spirit to come. So here's Peter. He's in the block and he's waiting for the Spirit to come. You guys know how relay races run, and he's waiting and he's waiting. God says, look, wait, Peter. I need you to wait. Disciples, I need you to wait. When the Spirit comes on them in Acts chapter 2, Peter and the rest of the disciples, they take off running. But like a young child, I had an opportunity to look at a video online, and I saw a group of kids running in a relay race. And one particular child, when the baton was passed to the child began to run. And the child was running full speed. The form looked nice. They held on to the baton. They did everything right. As a matter of fact, the child looked pretty fast, because when the adult ran after the child, it was difficult for the adult to catch the child. But the child was running the wrong direction. And that's what happened to Peter. Peter and the rest of the disciples, they took off running. They did. They ran. That's the first point. Just run. And they did that. God told Peter and the disciples, I need you to get this gospel out to everyone, to the whole world, all the nations. Peter said, good, that's good with me. So he grabbed the baton and he began running. And we're going to see, as Peter grabbed the baton to run, he was doing everything right, just like that child. He was running, good form, held the baton in his hand, good speed. But we're going to see from Acts 1 through 9, he was going the wrong way. And then Acts chapter 10, God kind of taps him on the shoulder and says, hey, brother, you're doing a good job. Your stride is pretty good. You're holding on to the baton. Your speed is pretty good, good form, but you're going the wrong way. And we'll look at that later. Let's start off with Acts chapter 2. So the Spirit of God comes, and Peter's doing a fantastic job. The rest of the disciples are doing a fantastic job. Peter gives an amazing sermon. And in this sermon, 3,000 people come to know Christ. But here's the thing. The folks who showed up at Pentecost were Jews who had been scattered. I'll say that again. The folks who showed up at Pentecost were Jews who had been scattered to various nations. And now they were gathering at Pentecost, and Peter had a new message for them. And in Peter's message, when you get a chance, read through Acts chapter 2. Peter uses words like fellow Israelites. And he uses words like all. Because in his mind, he's thinking the gospel is going out to everyone, to all. But his all was being defined a bit differently from how God was defining all. You see, God was doing a new thing. And the gospel, God wanted the gospel to go to the Gentiles. And Peter had a good heart. He had every intention of sharing the gospel with the rest of the world. But in his mind, all meant not the Gentiles. All did not include the Gentiles, excuse me. All did not include the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, the Jews despised the Gentiles. They despised them. They didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. They didn't want their very clothes to touch the Gentiles. They would shake off dust against the Gentiles. They wanted nothing to do with the Gentiles. The Gentiles were almost like animals to them. And so in Peter's mind, surely in his mind, he was thinking, of course, I'll share the gospel with the Jews. I'll share the gospel with them, no problem. I'll do that. But God had something else in mind. And so Peter kept running. Picture this. Peter's running the race. Acts chapter 3. A crippled beggar comes to him and says, Peter, I need you to give me some change, brother. You have any silver and gold? And Peter says, no, I don't have silver and gold. But this is what I have. In the name of Jesus, get up, walk. He's still running. He's going strong. The person walks. The beggar walks. Everyone is astonished by what Peter just did. And Peter looks at them and he says, look, Why are you guys so impressed by this? And he goes on and he shares this marvelous, marvelous sermon. And again, he uses the word all. He talks about fellow Israelites. And this is what he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 5. He says, "And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed." That's his definition. He's thinking all means the Jews who are here, who have been scattered, and now they're back here at Pentecost, and now I'm sharing a message with them, and we need them to understand that Christ is the way. But his definition was limited. But he's still running, and God, by his grace, he allows Peter to run. He allows Peter to run, because remember, this is new. This is new to everyone. So Peter's running. Acts chapter 4, Peter gets put in jail. But the church continues to grow. As a matter of fact, it grows to 5,000. He's still running. He's released from jail. The scripture says that the earth shook. So in my mind, if I was Peter, I'm thinking, look, all this wonderful stuff that I'm doing, surely the Lord is with us. And God was. God was doing some marvelous, marvelous things. But Peter didn't understand that God was about to tap him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Peter, that word all that you're using, I got a little surprise for you. That all includes another group that you and your people despise. But I love them. I love them. I love them so much that this message that you think is just for your people, I want them to hear it too." But God gave him some grace and he continued. In Acts chapter 5, it was all cute. It's the way the church is right now. We love this passage. It says that they had everything in common. They shared everything. You know, the believers, they say, "Levi, you good over there? Are you good?" "Yeah, I'm good." You need some bread over there?" "Yeah, I'm good." "Hey, do you need some money?" "I'm good." They shared everything. As a matter of fact, they were so against the believers not sharing with each other. Remember Ananias and Sapphira when they came in the room and they said, "Look, we sold this property and we gave all of our money." Peter says, "Is that true? Why are you lying to the Spirit?" And they fell dead. And so the believers were in their nice little cute bubble, loving on each other, which is, we should do that. We should do that. We should absolutely love on one another. But God decided, you know what? I need to shake things up a little bit. I need to shake things up a little bit. So Peter ended up going back to jail. He ended up going back to jail. But even though he went back to jail, God continued to do marvelous things. And they were beaten for sharing the word. And they came out and they thought, "We are counted worthy of being beaten for God." And so Peter, in his mind, "Man, I'm running a dynamic race." And God said, "You are, but you're running fast, but you're still going the wrong way. You're still going the wrong way." Peter was so, let's put it this way. Peter was such a great athlete. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5, it said that even his shadow, that's right, his shadow, folks wanted to bring their sick and their lame in Peter's shadow. Because in their mind, they thought, "Man, if only my sick friend, my sick father would even get under Peter's shadow, maybe they'll be healed." So Peter was doing it. Remember, he's running strong. He's running strong. He did what God said. God said, "Run." That's the first point, run. But you also have to make sure that you're running in the right direction. Got to make sure that you're running in the right direction. And God started to shake things up a little bit. Acts chapter 6, we know the story, 6 and 7. Stephen preaches a powerful message, and he gets stoned. And the church begins to be persecuted. Now that they're persecuted, now that their bubble has been popped, they begin to scatter. They begin to scatter. And I could only imagine in the back of their minds, they're thinking, "Well, wait a minute, God, we're doing everything that you said. Why are you allowing this?" But remember, God had a new plan. You see, what God was doing in Acts 8 and 9, God was raising up a new runner in the race by the name of Saul, who converted and became Paul. God had a new runner in this race. And this new runner was going to take the message to the group of folks that Peter thought were not worthy of the message. They were the Gentiles. So God was raising up a new runner. Peter was going to the Jews, but God was raising someone to take the message to the Gentiles. But Peter didn't understand that. So God, again, in his grace, this is what he does. And it brings us up to our passage. God had to tap on Peter's shoulder. So in a vision, you all know the story. In a vision, Peter received a vision for God that said, you know what? I need you to go down and meet with this guy named Cornelius. He's a Gentile. And I could only imagine Peter thinking to himself, what do you mean you want me to go speak to a Gentile? But then Peter, he obeyed. Let's look at Acts 10 again. Let's go back to our verse, Acts 10. So the next day, Peter did what he was supposed to do. Remember, Peter's a runner. He's an athlete. He said, okay, Lord, if you want me to do that, let me go do it. So the next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. And the following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said, I am only a man myself. Now, why would Cornelius do that? Why would he fall to his knees before Peter? Because Peter and the rest of the Jews, they were held in high regards. Because, see, the Jews felt that they were favored. Cornelius didn't even feel that he was even worthy of Peter coming to his house. But he packed the house out. And the reason why he packed the house out is because he heard a message. He heard a message and he said, look, I need to let my folks know. Let's look at what Cornelius heard. He says, while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent me? So Peter was there, but he was still trying to figure out, why in the world have I been sent here? You see, what God was doing with Peter was that God was letting Peter know, Peter, all lives matter to me. You get it, Peter? Peter, all lives matter to me. And Peter, when you were sharing these messages, and you kept saying, oh, Peter, you left something out, Peter. You didn't know, Peter. I'm not mad at you. You didn't know, but you left something out. And Peter, I want to let you know that Gentile lives matter too. I want to let you know that their lives matter too, Peter. And so when Peter walked in that house, he realized, okay, why am I caught here? But he realized, you know what? In this vision that God gave Peter of unclean animals falling from the sky and God telling Peter, Peter, I need you to get up and eat. Peter's a righteous Jew. He said, Lord, I'm not getting up and eating this garbage. I'm not going to eat these unclean animals. Peter thought it was a dietary thing. And God was like, no, you're missing it, Peter. I'm talking about people, the Gentiles. They matter to me. And you keep calling them unclean. They're not unclean. They're my people. So now I need you to go down to Cornelius. And Cornelius, like we said, he packed the house out. He packed the house out. And this is Cornelius' story, verse 30, Acts 10:30. He says, look, Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour. And at 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. So we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. And listen to what Peter said. Remember, Peter started off thinking all lives included the Jews, the scattered Jews, and those who decided that, you know what, we're going to embrace the Jewish culture. We're going to embrace their laws. We're going to convert. We'll kind of dismiss everything else and we'll just embrace you all. He thought all meant people in his bubble, in his little spiritual bubble. And listen to what Peter says, verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. He says, I now realize one of the greatest runners in the Bible, He was defining all as, in his mind, all was just my folks. But this is the one of the greatest runners in the book. He said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from, for the very first time, Peter is including other groups, every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right. Peter, for the first time, is now realizing that the gospel is for everyone. That the gospel is for everyone. Later on, when Peter explains himself to the believers, he had to let them know, look, this is what I experienced. He says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel. This is verse 36. Announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Again, let me reiterate. This verse wasn't what Peter shared with the other believers. This is what he was sharing in the house. And for the first time, Peter was telling them that the gospel is for all. And this time, the all included Gentiles. This time, Peter realized, you know what? Gentile lives do matter. They really do matter. But God had to get him to that point. So Peter ran. That's the job of an athlete. You run. You run. But make sure you're running in the right direction. Make sure you're running in the right direction. And then in Acts chapter 11, Peter had to explain himself. He went to the other believers who thought, you know what? Peter, you know when God told you to go to the nations, to all the nations, you know he was talking about us. And Peter said, well, no. Let me tell you something. This is the vision that God gave me. I don't know, guys. And it says, so if God gave them the same spirit he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus. This is Acts 11, verse 17 and 18. Peter says, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Peter says, I got to get out of God's way, guys. And see what was happening. God is loving. God had to tell Peter this because remember I told you God was raising up another runner in Paul. And one of the things that happens when people are running their race, it's easy to look off to the side. And I think had God not revealed this to Peter, he would have gotten in the way of Paul reaching out to the Gentiles. He would have gotten in the way of Paul reaching out to the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, we learn later on in Galatians, when Paul wrote the Galatians, Paul says, look, God has commissioned me to go to the Gentiles. Peter, you're going to the Jews. So Peter understood this. Peter said, oh, I get it. All lives matter, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm called to reach out to that group. When the opportunity comes, like Cornelius, yes, I must share. But God has called Paul to the Gentiles, and he loves the Gentiles. And I should never get mad at Paul when Paul's trying to reach out to the Gentiles. I should never get in God's way by saying, Paul, what are you doing? These Gentiles, they're not deserving of this. And so Peter understood, I got to get out of God's way. I got to get out of God's way. Because God was doing a new thing. God was saying, your all, Peter, doesn't encompass the people that I love. I love everyone. Yes, all lives matter, Peter. You're absolutely right, but you left out somebody, and that's the Gentiles. They matter to me. They matter to me. So, Peter, you got to get out of the way. And Peter did that. And Peter did that. I want to apologize to the world on behalf of the church. You know, sometimes the church, we think somehow or another, God favors certain groups. God loves everyone. The gospel is open to everyone. It's open to everyone. It's not open to just a certain group of people. It's open to everyone. It's not open to a particular race. It's open to everyone. And I know we know that in theory. I know we know that. I know we know the scriptures. I know this. I know everyone knows what I'm sharing. I know that. But sometimes our actions don't show that. And as a body, we need to make sure that we're running our race. If God has called you to a particular group, all lives matter. We shouldn't look at that group and say, well, why are you focusing so much attention on that group? Get out of God's way. Allow God to do his work with that group. Peter had to get out of God's way so that God could use Paul in the lives of the Gentile. Paul had to get out of Peter's way so that Peter could get the gospel out to the Jews. And if you're out there and you were offended by the church because some way or another we made you feel as if God doesn't love you, we're sorry. And you shouldn't be made to feel that way. All lives matter to God. All lives matter to God. And we just wanted to let you know that you're important to God, even though you may have not felt that way by those in the church. So we want to apologize for that. For my brothers and sisters in Christ, like we said today, run. Keep running your race. Keep running. The kingdom has to be advanced. There are many out there who need to hear the gospel. Keep running. But make sure you're running in the right direction. Make sure you allow God to reveal your blind spots. Be honest with God. Allow him to reveal your blind spots. And then stay out of his way. When he reveals what he is doing, if it's contrary to your plan or your way of thinking, stay out of God's way and allow him to enlarge his kingdom, his way, in his timing. And there may be some out here who you're not even in the race. You're hearing this message for the first time. And you're wondering, how do I even get into this race? You know, if we're at a track meet, you can't just come out of the stance and just jump into the race. Even if you're fast, can't do that. And what the Bible tells us, there's a way that you get into this race. And that is to become a child of God. Now remember, we said God loves everyone. But what happens is that sin separates us from God. You're saying, well, what does sin mean? What is sin? Sin means that God set a standard, a perfect standard. And we violate that because we can't keep it because we are not perfect. How many of you could attest to that? You're not perfect. If you think you're perfect, look at the person next to you, if someone's sitting next to you, and ask them. No one is perfect. And so what God said, look, because you are not perfect, you can't dwell eternally with me. You cannot do that. There's a penalty for that. As a matter of fact, what God requires is death. Not just physical death, but it's a separation from God after you die. And then after you die, you face the wrath of God, not because God doesn't love you, but because you reject his love. So the only thing left is his wrath. And we don't want that for you. So God is holy. We are not. But God stepped in history. And he became a man. You've heard it. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. The Bible tells us that he was the perfect sacrifice. Not only did he die on the cross, you're thinking, well, big deal. Many have died. That's not a big deal. But then he allowed himself to be buried. And you're thinking, well, big deal. Many have been buried. But our Bible tells us that on the third day, he rose again. He conquered death. He conquered death to show not only was he the perfect sacrifice, but he was God. And so he invites us to be his children. So how do you do that? Number one, you admit. Well, what do you admit? You admit that, God, you know what? I sin and I fall short of your standards. I fall short of your glory. But not only that, but there's a penalty. The penalty is death. But there's a gift. The gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So it's simple. A, B, C. You admit. You admit. You say, God, look, I've fallen short. I've fallen short. If it was up to my goodness to make it right with you, I would be in trouble. And I admit that. I have no problem. I admit that. And the God said, well, it goes beyond that. You have to then believe. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So you admit, you believe, and then you choose. You choose him. You say, you know what? I need God to be my Savior. I need Christ to be my Savior. I make him my Lord. It's not just intellectual knowledge, but I want to make God my Lord. I want to make Jesus Christ, more specifically, my Lord. And so you choose him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent or husband's will, but born of God. What does that mean? God loves you, but God wants you into his kingdom. He wants you to be kingdom children. The way to be a kingdom child is to accept his son, is to accept the work that he has done. That's what makes you a kingdom. That's what provides you with eternal security. There's no magical prayer, but I'm going to pray with you. And this is you just talking to God. If you just repeat after me, Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I don't understand everything that was said, but I admit that I'm a sinner. And I believe this plan of you coming down in the form of man as Christ, paying the penalty for my sin. And I choose you as my Lord. I don't know all the details, Lord, but I want to be a kingdom child. I want to be in this race. I want to spend eternity with you. I want to avoid your wrath. Please forgive me. Please accept me into your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. So if that was you, if you prayed that prayer, we want to follow up with you. So what we want you to do, we want you to type the word next, N-E-X-T, to 301-804-2520. That's next, N-E-X-T, to 301-804-2520. It's a pleasure having you all here today. We trust that you'll run strong for the kingdom. We trust also that if God lets you know that you're running the wrong direction, that you listen, you obey, and you go the right direction. And family, let's get out of God's way, because this kingdom needs to be enlarged. We love you and we trust that you'll be with us next week.